contributor. DVD, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing today? Busy day down at the rink.
Yeah, I am. Do you are you in the Flavor Flav camp? Are you walking around with a clock that's ticking for the next 3 years, DVD?
No, not really. Congrats, McDavid, no. Because a lot can happen in 3 years.
Exactly.
So, I mean, he may leave in if they win the Stanley
that's
Cup.
That's what I was
saying. What if he wins two cups and he's like, okay, I'm done here and I'm going to get my payday. So I don't think, you know, so much can happen. And even Gian Draisaitl said today, hey, we could win the cup. Like, what if he wins the cup next year? And then he says, okay, well, I've won my cup and then I'll try to win two and three, I guess. And then he walks away after winning the cup. So I don't think there's any guarantee that he stays, or maybe he likes it here and decides he doesn't want to go anywhere. He wants to be like Sidney Crosby and play his entire career in one place. So there's just so many things, factors in mind. I think the fact that he just signed for another 2 years, and now you have McDavid for 3 years, and in total that would make it, 13 years of Connor McDavid era? And that's pretty good. You know, it's better. That was longer than the Gretzky era, so...
Right.
So I think it's pretty good that you had this player here for that long. And yeah, who knows what could happen? I don't think there's a guarantee he stays if they win. I think he might leave if they win. Okay, like, I accomplished my goal. Now I'm going to go in for a new challenge, as they say. So yeah, if he wins, he could stay. If they don't win, he could like, if he wins, he could leave. If he don't win, he could leave. You know what? You know what they say, Jason. Do not stress yourself over things you have no control over. There's enough stresses in life that you don't have to worry about stuff like that.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. It's one like to me. People should be celebrating in Edmonton. Like, that's a massive win. You got him for a few extra. Mm-hmm. You got 3 years now for sure to watch McDavid, because he ain't getting traded midseason. Like, I know people are always talking about that. Oh, they got 1 year, then they're going to have to trade him. What are you talking about? I have to trade him. And oh, by the way, he has a no movement clause. He's going to control if he gets traded anyway. So.
Yeah,
to me, it's like it's a big deal for a team that's clearly one of the best teams in the NHL. If you don't think Edmonton's one of the best teams in the NHL, you're not paying attention. Like, all the results are right there, and then it's just a matter of can they finally get that final step, which is obviously difficult to do, and you need a lot of luck, and you need a lot of health, and yada yada yada. But you know, the Oilers, to me, the storyline isn't really McDavid. Like, that's great that he signed, but the bigger story to me is how some of these new guys are going to contribute early on this season.
Yeah, I think that is a big story. And I think just having new guys here, having some rookies, having some fresh blood, I think it really kind of revitalizes the group. Like, everyone's talked about having some of the new guys here, some fresh faces. And, you know, the Oilers were the oldest team in the league last year, a very veteran-savvy team. And people talked about, maybe they lost a step here or there. Maybe having some of these new guys, you know, they'll gain that step back. But I think, you know, I think Matt Savoy's had a really good camp. I like him. I'm interested to see him out. How he stands out in the regular season. And you have to be careful, because we've had guys here before that have had really, really good preseasons, and then you get into the regular season and they disappear. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Savoy, but you have to really temper what you saw in the preseason, because it could happen where just the regular season is a different animal. The guys are actually playing. They're trying hard. The game increases. The level is faster. You have less time, less space. So you have to kind of get used to that. Ike Howard, we should see how they utilize him. I still think he needs some just professional development. He has to play pros for a little while, understand how it works in the pro game, playing every other day, practicing every day. It's such a grind. It's not like college where you go to the gym, then you go have a practice, and then you don't ever worry about playing until the weekend and things like that. It's just a different, completely different animal that I think he's going to have to get used to. I wish him the best of luck, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with going down the American Hockey League and learning your trade. And I think a lot of really good players have done that and have come out of that league and been better for it. So I don't think he has a guaranteed spot here in Edmonton, but, you know, we'll see what he does in his first few games. We'll see how Matt Savoy does. We'll see some of the other new guys, Tom Seck and those guys. You know, Curtis Lazar, can he help out this team? So there are a lot of interesting storylines going into the season here. Mangiapane, will he find that chemistry on the top line or second line, wherever he's playing? So I think there's a lot of questions going in. And it's funny, just talking, you're in that room too every day, Jason. Talking to those guys, it's a lot different feel than it was last year. Last year, there were a lot of lower lips dragging on the ground there, feeling, woe is us. We came so close, and it took them a long time to get over that. I don't get that sense this year. I get the sense that, hey, we're kind of focused this year. We want to get off to a good start. They've turned the page on last season, and I think it's a little different attitude going into this season than maybe last season, where I think everyone was. I can't just say the players. I think, you know, the fans were. Everyone was kind of lamenting, man, wow, they came so close. And then you still think about it 2 months later, and it kind of affects your work. And I think that's what happened, and they finally kind of were able to turn the season around. But I expect them to get off to a really good start this year.
Well, they want to, no question about it. The last 2 years it started brutal, but they did. They got spanked in their opener and then went all the way to the Stanley Cup final. So although the odds the last 2 years, and I looked it up, you know, teams who win their opening game of the season. I know it's only one game in an 82-game season, but teams who win their opening game of the regular season the last 2 years. So that's 32 teams, right? Because there's 16. Or sorry, there's, you know, each year 16. you can only have 32 teams who win on opening night. Right, because you're playing everybody, and there's 32 losers in their first games usually, and it's pretty clear that even if you win your first game of the season, those teams out of the 32, 21 of them made the playoffs, and only 11 losers over the 2 years. So it's like 10 and 6 and 11 and 5, just winning your opening game. And Edmonton obviously was the minority teams both times. So it's still, you know, a good start does matter for lots of teams.
Yeah, it sets the tone, right? It sets the tone for the year. If you get off to a good game, you don't want to be playing from behind. And I think, you know, the Oilers, I can't remember last time they got off to like a really wicked start, like a 9-1 start.
Three years ago.
So they got to kind of try and get back to that and get out of the gates quickly and really establish themselves. And I think that's what they want to do. They want to establish themselves as the best team in the Pacific. And, you know, I think they have. You know, what I really like about this team is I like the continuity on the back end. I really think, and even Chris Knobloch said today, we think we have one of the best blue lines in the league, if not the best blue line in the league. So I think that's really, really going to help. And then, you know, as guys find their way, you still have that top line. They're going to score a lot of goals, but with a good defense, and hopefully that helps your goaltending. They're going to keep the puck out of their net. So I think that's going to help the Edmonton Oilers a lot. They don't have to run and gun. They haven't had to run and gun for a couple of years now, but, you know, they don't have to do it now because they have pretty solidified defense.
Derek Van Dees joins us, Sports 1440, sports1440.ca. It's the Gregor Show presented by playalberta.ca. DVD, what is your expectation? Do the Oilers end their drought? Do they finally win a regular season division title, or are they more so focused on just being ready and healthy for the playoffs?
No, I think they win the title. I really do. I think that's important to them. I think it's important to them to kind of, you know, even though home ice advantage wasn't a big deal last year, and then when they did get it, they lost that series. I still think that they want to play with home ice advantage. I still think they want to go into series being the favorite. I think that's a goal for them. And you look at this team, and it's about setting goals. And I think that is a big goal for them. They want to win the division. It's been a long time since they've won the division, and they want to be the best team in the Pacific. And, you know, they say with that comes maybe, you know, the best team in the Western Conference. And I think that's what the Edmonton Oilers want to show. They want to for once not struggle and kind of, you know, stumble their way through the regular season and then, you know, have to go on a heater or have to go on a big win streak to kind of turn things around and then get into the playoffs. And then you're playing from, you know, you don't have home ice advantage in the playoffs. So I think they want to play from a position of advantage this year. And then when you're talking about a team trying to get back to the Stanley Cup final, you have to set those goals. And I think that's a big goal for them. I think they do want to win the Pacific. I think they do want to be one of the best teams in the Western Conference. So when they go into the postseason, people are like, yeah, this is a team you have to watch in the playoffs and expect to get back to the final. Not surprise anyone by getting back there.
DVD, how closely are you watching the Jays?
Very closely. I'm gonna. Is first pitch at 5:30, or is it already?
First pitch is until 6:08. So you got time.
They got some time, and yeah. So no, very closely. So it was very fun watching them kick the crap out of the Yankees. You know. it was those first two games were fun, but yeah, playing in the Bronx is gonna be a different. I've been there. I've been to that stadium. It's a different vibe altogether. Like it's loud and it's fun and it's a great atmosphere in Toronto, but it is just a really intimidating atmosphere playing in the Bronx. It's totally different. The fan base there. I've been there, and you're like, wow, this is different level. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Jays handle things, and you know, if they can keep the bats going. They're playing defensively great, and again, some great pitching performances. So they can jump out to a big lead. Yeah, it'll be over. But the longer the Yankees hanging around, you know, they think they still have life. They believe they're still a good team. I'm not convinced that they're a great team. I think they make too many errors in the field, too many bad plays. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight.
Well, the Jays, I love, my favorite stat is the Jays have more home runs than strikeouts in the series thus far. That is, you know what, and they're a team that didn't strike out all season long, right? Like they can work the count. They got patience. They got some guys like Ernie Clement, you know, one of the best first ball hitters in baseball overall. So, you know, they got, and so really Shane Bieber can slow down the bats, which is hard to do because the Yankees, you know, nobody hit more home runs than the Yankees all season long. And through two games, the Jays pitchers have done a very good job. Now, Shane Bieber, there's one thing we've seen at times is early in games, he'll give up a home run or two. And that to me is, I think, the key that he has to avoid tonight for the Jays to get the brooms out and sweep the Yankees.
Yeah, he's got to settle in. Like, yeah, you're right. He's a guy that, you know, once he gets up a run and he settles in, and I think you're good from there. I think that Yankees lineup, it's a pretty good lineup, but they're just right now, they're just not getting the timely hits. And the Jays, it's tough to pitch around anyone in that lineup because you have so many good guys following you. So you can't pitch around Vladdy. You can't pitch around, you know, some of those other guys. And I think that's the situation that the Yankees find themselves in. And then, you know, their best pitcher got rocked. So that's something to get, you know, to try and get over going back to New York today.
Yeah. DVD, I know you covered the WHL for a long time and you loved it. If there's a storyline I'm watching this year in the NHL, it's the Detroit Red Wings and young Emmett Finney, who's a 20-year-old. Emmett Finney was a 7th-round, 201st pick overall, the Red Wings, back in 2023. He then, you know, he spent that year, he went back to Kamloops, played there, had, you know, 19 goals, 59 points, not bad. Then the next year is in Kamloops, he played 55 games, had 37 goals, 84 points. Right now, he's made the Red Wings out of training camp. His first year eligible because he's 20, right? Obviously, he couldn't play in the NHL last year. He's a 20-year-old. And not only has he made their team, looks like he's going to start on their top line with Dylan Larkin and Lucas Raymond. I don't know how long it lasts, but it is an unreal story to watch for a WHL guy, a 7th-rounder who his first year of pro is starting on the Detroit Red Wings top line.
No, for sure. I wrote about Finney today, actually. I got a story up on WHL.com. They asked me to do a story of opening night surprise roster players that are surprised on the roster. And Finney was on that roster. Detroit starting actually the season with 3 rookies on their roster. And you remember for the longest time, a rookie, I think Dylan Larkin was the first rookie to play with Detroit for a long time because Ken Holland were there. Like they made you kind of sit in the minors and sit in the minors and play the minors before they called you up. So rookies in Detroit were hard to come by, and this year they're starting with 3. So we'll see what happens. You know, Finney, you know, I expect him to get his 9-game look, and then obviously they'll make a decision there.
Well, no, he's 20. He's 20. He can. He like.
Oh, he's 20. Yeah, I guess he's 20. Sorry. He can go down. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, 3 rookies in Detroit. That's something that jumped out at me when I was going through the rosters yesterday. Spent a lot of time last night just going through the rosters, and yeah, I saw that Emmett Finney had made the team. I was pretty excited. So it's exciting to see those Western League guys kind of make that jump and play well and then go from there. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting season. But yeah, I do have a piece up on NHL.com if you guys want to look at it. It's about some of the surprises on the roster this year, some of the younger guys that are rosters that maybe you didn't think had a chance to make the roster and ended up finding the opening day roster.
DVD, enjoy the games, man. We'll see you at the rink tomorrow.
Sounds good. See you down there.